Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our tribulation? Our body clings to the ground. Arise, O Lord, for our help and redeem us. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us the deeds you did in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but you planted our fathers because you favored them. You have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our tribulation? Our body clings to the ground. Arise, O Lord, for our help and
and redeem us.
Thank thee that through thy Son, Jesus Christ, thou hast sown thy holy word among us. We pray that thou wilt prepare our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may diligently and reverently hear thy word, keep it in good hearts, and bring forth fruit with patience, and that we may not incline to sin, but subdue it by thy power, and in all persecutions comfort ourselves with thy grace and continual help. Through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this Sexagesima Sunday is found in the 8th chapter of Amos, the 11th and 12th verses. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Let the nations know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind.
The epistle lesson is found in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 19, through the 12th chapter, verse 9. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things what come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here ends the epistle lesson.
O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. Oh, restore us again. You have made the earth tremble, you have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking. That your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 8th chapter of Luke, verses 4 through 15. Great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. but others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 264.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the Gospel, Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know the first miracles that the Gospels record Jesus performing was turning water into wine. Well, as nearly as we can tell from the Gospels, here is the first parable which Jesus tells. And it's a doozy. Of all the parables of Jesus, this one has the reputation for making you particularly uncomfortable. It made the disciples particularly confused. It was not just that they were curious as to the meaning of the parable, but that Jesus chose to speak in parables at all. They did not say, as our text translates, "What does this parable mean?" But rather, "What is this parable? What is it for? Why are you speaking in this way?" And Jesus immediately answers them. And that's where it gets uncomfortable, for Jesus says that you have been gifted with the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but the rest get these parables so that they hear but do not understand. You mean Jesus meant to confuse people and didn't want them to understand even as he was speaking to them? Yes, just so. You get to understand, but they do not. Now that just doesn't sound right to our ears. It doesn't sound like a wise way to preach. Today preachers tell stories because they're trying to make people understand, but Jesus tells stories to prevent certain people from understanding. It sounds offensive, doesn't it? But if so, then the fault is not in Jesus, but in you who take offense. The solution to this difficult saying of Jesus can be found in the very words which Jesus has just spoken. The parable he will now proceed to explain to his chosen disciples. For just as there is only certain soil that receives the seed and bears fruit, so there are only certain people who believe the treasures of Jesus' word, who hear his commandments and repent of their sins and rejoice in the comfort of the gospel. The rest receive the exact same seed, the same word of Jesus, but they are hardened ground. They see but do not believe. They hear but do not understand. And so Jesus does not give them his word as a tender plant so that they can stomp it underfoot and continue to treat it like so much rubbish just as they have done before. He lets his seed fall on them unsprouted, so that the same seed that produces much fruit with good soil produces nothing at all in the rocky ground or the hardened path. Jesus does not cast the treasures of his word before swine so that they can stomp on it and dirty it in the mud. The rest who hear only parables are the ones who have already heard the word of Jesus but would not believe it. Jesus does not continue to waste his word on hardened hearts. Where he offered a feast of good things, of every spiritual gift, and his gifts are spurned and rejected, he then, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson, sends a famine, not of bread, but of hearing the word of God. It is just as he told his disciples when he later sent them out as missionaries. And whoever will not receive you or hear your words when you depart from that city or house, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And much later, Paul preached in Antioch, and the unbelieving Jews spoke against Christ and his preaching. And he said to them, since you reject the word of God and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we now turn to the Gentiles. Ouch. Hard words, indeed. As hard as the heart that refuses to hear the words of Jesus. So why does Jesus tell us these things? He specifically says, regarding this parable, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, and so we are meant to hear it. He gives you this parable so that you might hear and learn from it, so that it might be for you both a warning and a comfort. Therefore, if you are going to hear his parable, pay attention to what he actually says. Do not get caught up in pointless questions like, why is the ground hard to begin with? Did God make it that way? Was it nature or nurture? Forget about all that. Jesus doesn't say anything about that. And so don't worry yourself over it. And so also Jesus does not here say anything about the sovereign will of God, which ordains that some soil be rocky, and some choked with weeds, and some assaulted by the devil's birds, and some that is good, and it's all predetermined, and there's nothing you can do to change it, no matter what you believe or don't believe. Jesus didn't say anything like that here, and he doesn't say anything like that in all the scriptures. What good would it do to give you a parable that says it doesn't matter if you hear God's word or not? Perish the thought. This parable says exactly the opposite. It matters a great deal how you receive the word of God. That is why Jesus gives you a parable like this to you who believe. It is not directed toward the unbeliever, but toward you. You who know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Therefore, listen to what Jesus says to you. He does not go through the trouble of telling this parable so that you might merely know that some people don't believe God's word. You already know that. He tells you this parable so that you will know that you yourself could just as well be the stony ground or the hardened path. That you too could become choked with the cares of this life or listen to the devil's whisperings and temptations and so have the precious seed stolen away. He describes all these things that can happen when he preaches his word so that you take care to hear his word with an open and receptive heart. For this much is certain. The only thing that you can do as he preaches his word to you is either to receive it or to resist and reject it. And when you receive it, what have you really done in the end anyway? Farmers do not get a field full of wheat just because they have a nice plot of ground. They actually have to plant seed in the soil. By itself, the soil just sits there. It can't do anything. In fact, soil is dead. It's made up of dead and decomposed plant matter. And yet along comes the seed. And it grows and it spreads its roots deep into the soil, taking hold on that dead thing and turning it into something that is not only alive but bearing fruit. And so it is with you. You can either reject and resist this seed or succumb to it and be transformed from a dead thing to a living thing, so that God's word sends its roots deep into your heart, penetrating every corner of your life, and thereby producing in you all manner of good works, the fruits of a living faith. It is not an easy thing to endure when God plants his word into you. It is often hard, and the temptation is strong to give up quickly, to be like the rocky soil, which rejoices at first to hear God's word, but ends up having no root, so that when life does not turn out to be all rosy, when your bad habits and lusts and evil desires come back to haunt you, when trouble comes to your marriage or your family or your finances, you foolishly think that all of this Jesus stuff is too much trouble because it can't solve all of your problems right now. It hurts when you discover that the same commandments which first revealed your sins and condemned the things that you had done in the past, these same commandments continue to do the same thing after you believe. Your surface sins were obvious enough, but the Word of God drives deeper and it keeps uncovering much more. Just when you think you have your lust under control, your anger flares up. And just when you think you finally stopped swearing or indulging in self-pity, you destroy your neighbor's reputation behind his back with your gossip. And now when this happens, and it must happen, you see that it is still a painful and heart-wrenching thing to constantly be confronted by layer upon layer of your sin. And Satan is still there prodding you along to sin more and more. And you realize that you want to listen to him, and will you then be a hard ground and abandon the life of repentance when all of these things come bearing down upon you and give up the faith of Christ? Or will you let the Word do its work and take root and fill you with its life? For the same Word that reveals your sin also takes away your sin, and it gives you forgiveness and pardon day after day. So that for every sin which God's words reveal, God's word is there showing you Jesus living his life and dying his death for you. For each commandment which drives you to remorse and sorrow, there is another drop of Jesus' blood shed to forgive each and every one of these sins. For every pain you must bear, for every temptation of Satan, for every care and concern of this life, there is the body of Jesus atoning for your sins, the water of life which pours out from his side, washing you clean. And for every kind, cruel, or thoughtless word which flows from your mouth, there is another word of Jesus, his own absolution coming to you across time in the mouth of your pastor, forgiving your sins and securing a place for you in the kingdom of God where Satan cannot go, where all the cares of this life and its manifold temptations are at an end. That is why God plants his word into you. And he spreads its roots deep. It pierces through to every sin, forgiving you and giving life wherever it goes, and turning you from a dead soil to a fruitful plant. The people of this world cannot bear this word. They see the piercing of the law and they reject it and they hate it and they despise it and they do not even understand it in the end. And therefore Jesus lets it be to them as nothing but a story, so that they cannot take his treasures and make them trash under their feet. A parable with no more meaning to them than a mother goose nursery rhyme. But for you it shall not be so. To you, Jesus has openly revealed the treasures of his kingdom, the mysteries. What mysteries are these? They are those which you already know. That Jesus is the man whom God promised from ancient time. The man who is God, who bears your sins in his own body. To be the Lamb of God who was ordained to be slain for the sins of the world from before time began. What a mystery that is. He has kept that ancient promise, and he gives it even to you, even today, through baptism and through preaching and the Lord's Supper and absolution. Through these seeds, he gives you life, and he causes you to bear fruit abundantly. Therefore, do not reject his word, but keep and treasure these mysteries in your heart. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. O Lord God, who art gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy, who are good to all and whose tender mercies are over all thy works, fulfill now the desire of those who call upon thee and hear our prayer. In thankfulness and humility we bow in spirit before thee, O God, for commending thy love to us in the death of thine only begotten Son, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. We acknowledge our transgression. Our sin is ever before us, as thou hast revealed our sin to us by thy holy law. Show us the atoning sacrifice of Christ, by whom also thou hast revealed that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Continue to sow the seed of thy word, and grant that the ground of our hearts, having been prepared by thy Spirit, who is ever present and active in thy word, might continue to receive this seed with gladness. Keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Save and defend thy church from evil, and grant unto all faithful pastors at home and abroad diligence in labors, patience in sufferings, and the blessed hope of eternal life. Guard them by thy power from all perils of body or soul. For our nation, we pray, give us unselfish governors and trustworthy judges, honorable legislators, and a law-abiding citizenry. Grant us success in all just wars and repentance for all our sins. Bless our homes and make them dwellings of thy Spirit, where Christ is honored in the teaching and love of the parents and in the obedience of their children. We beseech thy mercy upon our sick. Help them to know the power of Christ, that they may glory in their infirmities. Comfort the sorrowing and be with the lonely. Strengthen the aged and give faith in thy power and mercy to all who suffer temptation. And lead them to see that the grace of Christ is sufficient for any adversity. Let the word of Christ then dwell in us richly in all wisdom, that we might receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. In the name and for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We sing hymn number 261.
We lift them up.
let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is thy kingdom,
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. To strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we give thanks to thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 53. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is very likely our last service in this room. I'm looking at a place this week. I was trying to see it over the weekend, but didn't meet up with the gentleman who is a husband of a person who works here, and he runs a business down in Shakopee, and they have a nice sized space that they don't use at all. He agreed that we could rent from him, and I'll be taking a look at it as soon as possible.
So hopefully that will work out. In an emergency, we can meet downstairs on the floor of the warehouse area if we have, you know, because the cubes are in order for this room, and as soon as they get here, they'll start putting them up. So I will call you all and let you know where things stand well before the weekend. At minimum, if in a new location we can set up a table and get our chairs over there, we'll be fine, and then we can take long, you know, we can get the rest of the moving done down the road. Okay.